ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय This morning from Canto 10, Chapter 2, text number 35. That's not what's on the board, so I'll just read. You can listen carefully. The Sanskrit is very nice. Satam Nachita Turkikam Jambabhe Vijnanam Agyana Vidapada Pramarjanam Punah prakashaya anumiyate bhavan prakashate yasya chayena vagunah. Prayers by the demigods to Lord Krishna, who is still within the womb of Devaki, who's not yet appeared. It's still the morning. O Lord, cause of all causes, if your transcendental body were not beyond the modes of material nature, one could not understand the difference between matter and transcendence. Only by your presence can one understand the transcendental nature of your Lordship, who are the controller of material nature. Your transcendental nature is very difficult to understand unless one is influenced by the presence of your transcendental form. One, two, three and a half pages of purport. As you're listening to the purport, the reason I selected this verse is in the first canto, chapter 1, there are six questions asked by the sages of Naimisharanya to Sutta Goswami, and the reply of Sutta Goswami found in the next two chapters, chapter 2 and chapter 3, is the foundation of the entire Srimad Bhagavatam. So one of those six questions is, why does Krishna appear as the son of Devaki? So we're observing Krishna Janmasthami, where Krishna appears as the son of Devaki. But why? So we're appreciating the what, let's appreciate why. Here's the verse from 1.1.12. Bhagavatam. The sages say to Sutta, all blessings upon you. You know for what purpose the personality of God had appeared in the womb of Devaki as the son of Vasudeva. So there, it's very specific. There may be many persons bearing the name Krishna, but there's one who is the son of Devaki and Vasudeva and is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's exclusive. So why does Krishna appear? And it's a mystery. It's a mystery even that how God exists, what to speak of, from the supremely spiritual perfect being, this whole material creation comes. You know, like how does something material come from something spiritual? It's a theological puzzle. And different theologies have different answers, and that which makes different theologies. People want to know why they're different religions. There's different people have a speculative notion about the relationship between matter and the source of matter, and all spiritual personality of Godhead. What to speak of the next? He who is all spiritual enters into that which he has created, the material world. That's pretty puzzling. It's double puzzling. So why does he do that? The answer that's given in chapter 2 of Canto 1 is specific. It's those who are in the mode of goodness to delight them, to please them, and to deliver them to the spiritual world. That's why Krishna comes. And this verse that I just read, demigods praying, it expands on that understanding. In the purport we're going to hear Prabhupada saying, even those that don't understand Krishna, like when Krishna appeared on the Kurukshetra battlefield, so many persons, even he was right before them, they didn't understand who he was. And because they were inimical to Krishna, and inimical to the Pandavas, who are very dear to Krishna, therefore also inimical to Krishna, they were destroyed, but they were liberated and regained their position in the spiritual world because of Krishna's spiritual form being present before them when they left their body. What to speak of those that understood Krishna? And so the verse is explaining, by Krishna's appearance, the possibility is there to understand beyond matter what is reality. Like, you know, starting with ourselves and Krishna. So it's a very wonderful purport. I'm looking forward to hearing it again. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. It is said, Trigunya Vishaya Veda Nish Trigunya Bhavarjana. What's that verse? Krishna speaking in the Bhagavad Gita, second chapter. The Vedas deal mainly with the three modes. Arjuna, rise above the three modes. Not like rise above the Vedas, but rise above that portion of the Vedas that mainly deals with the three modes. Arjuna, come to transcendence. Unless one is situated in transcendence, one cannot understand the transcendental nature of the Lord. As stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.29, this is 10.14, this is Brahma's prayers to Krishna after the Brahma Vimohan Lila. And you've heard this verse before. Atapi te deva padam mucham dvayam prasada leshana brahita eva hi janati tatvam bhagavan mahim no nachanya eko pichiram pichinman. Only by the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead can one understand him. Those who are in the modes of material nature, although speculating for thousands of years, cannot understand him. The Lord has innumerable forms. Ramadi Murtushukalani Amenatishtan. And unless these forms, such as Lord Ramachandra, Nrsimhadev, Krishna, and Balarama, were transcendental, how could they be worshipped by devotees since time immemorial? Bhaktyamam Pavijanati Yavanya Sachas Mutatvata Bhagavad Gita 1855. Devotees who awaken their transcendental nature. Prabhupada is going to use this phrase four times in the purport. Awaken their transcendental nature, because that's what's in the verse. So unless one's transcendental nature is awakened, one cannot recognize who is Krishna. One can observe Krishna Janmashtami and not have a proper understanding of who is Krishna, who is appearing. One can be religious but not necessarily have transcendental realization. So how to awaken? Awaken transcendental nature, transcendental consciousness. Devotees who awaken their transcendental nature in the presence of the Lord and who follow the rules and regulations of devotional service can understand Lord Krishna, Lord Ramachandra, and other incarnations who are not of this material world, but who come from the spiritual world for the benefit of people in general. And he goes the other direction. If one does not take to this process, one imagines or manufactures some form of God according to material qualities and can never, here it is again, awaken a real understanding of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So then he quotes again the words, Bhaktya mama vijanati yavanyas chasmi tattvaha, signifying that, here it is one more time, unless one worships the Lord according to the regular devotional principles, one cannot awaken the transcendental nature. Deity worship, even in the absence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, awakens the transcendental nature of the devotee, who thus becomes increasingly attached to the Lord's lotus feet. So, I think if I just read the entire purport without stopping, half of you would be asleep, so I'll do it in chunks. So what has Prabhupada just said? What's the message that he wants us to receive? This, he wants us to awaken our transcendental nature. And he's explaining how. And there's to explain how, he also explains what not to do. What not to do is speculate. What's another not to do is, what not to do is just ritualistically follow something with the contemplation of what it is that one is doing in the off position, asleep, with one's transcendental nature not awakened. Then recognize what to do is contemplate and recognize, as we're doing today, we're honoring Krishna Janmashtami, that Krishna's form is all spiritual. Just as the question going back to the first canto, chapter 1, why has Krishna appeared? He's appeared to dismiss the influence of ignorance that's covering the transcendental nature of the living being. He wants to give his mercy. So he comes, he gives his mercy. Just by being present, he's giving his mercy. Without his presence in his transcendental form, one will continue being covered by illusion. And even there may be some innate tendency, as the soul has a tendency to take shelter of God, because that's our constitutional position, one will speculate something, concoct something, imagine something. Just as divisions of faith in the Bhagavad Gita explains, one doesn't have faith in Krishna, will have faith in something, according to the modes of nature. According to the modes of nature that one is attracted to, Krishna will supply some conception, and he'll give faith in that conception. One will think, yes, this is it. But one's transcendental nature, although very diligently and faithfully following something, won't bring about recognition of who God really is and return us to our spiritual position for all of one's earnestness and faith. Paragraph. The appearance of Krishna is the answer to all imaginative iconography of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Everyone imagines the form of the Personality of Godhead according to his mode of material nature. In the Brahma Samhita, it is said that the Lord is now he's giving the example. In the Brahma Samhita, it is said that the Lord is the oldest person. What is that verse in Brahma Samhita where the Lord is said to be the oldest person? Okay. And which of those words is he's the oldest person? Advaitam, Achyutam, Anadi. Anadi. He has no beginning. He's so old you can't even find out how old. He's that old. He's the oldest. So, therefore, a section of religionists imagine that God must be very old. And therefore, they depict a form of the Lord like a very old man. You've seen? In Christian tracts? Oh, like Abe Lincoln with a long beard or something, sitting at a big, really long beard. Hunched over too because he's so old. But, in the same Brahma Samhita, that is contradicted. Although he is the oldest of all living entities, he has his eternal form as a fresh youth. Nava Yovana. Eternally youthful old man. No gray hair. Never with a beard. Although sometimes, the exact words used in this connection in Srimad Bhagavatam, in this verse, in this text 35 of chapter 2, is Vijnanam Ajnana Vidhapamarjanam. So Prabhupada is going to spend the rest of this purport expanding that phrase. Vijnanam Ajnana Vidha Pramarjanam. Vijnana means transcendental knowledge of the Supreme Personality. Semicolon. Vijnana is also experienced knowledge. So it's setting the frame of the dialogue. Transcendental knowledge of the Supreme Personality, experience knowledge. Vijnana means. Transcendental knowledge has to be accepted by the descending process of disciplic succession as Brahma presents the knowledge of Krishna in Brahma Samhita. Brahma Samhita is Vijnana. Why? As realized by Brahma, transcendental experience. And in that way, he presented the form and the pastimes of Krishna in the transcendental abode. So that's the first part. Vijnanam Ajnanavidha. Ajnanavidha means that which can match all kinds of speculation. Ajnanavidha. being. It indicates intelligence. Ajnana vidya. It surpasses, not just matches, it surpasses all speculative knowledge. In ignorance, people are imagining the form of the Lord. Sometimes he has no form at all. Sometimes he has form according to their different imaginations. But the presentation of Krishna in the Brahma Samhita is vijnana. Scientific, experienced knowledge given by Lord Brahma and adopted by Lord Chaitanya, there is no doubt about it. Sri Krishna's form, Sri Krishna's flute, Krishna's color. Everything is reality. Here it is said that this vijnanam is always defeating all kinds of speculative knowledge. This is Krishna Janmashtami. When, if we're taking shelter of this mercy of Krishna's manifestation in his transcendental form, as explained, revealed in Srimad Bhagavatam, then it will surpass any kind of speculative, imaginative notion of what Krishna's appearance is all about. Or minus that, when we don't take the trouble to hear properly, it'll be a nice experience, but it won't be the same the experience that is wanted to be given by Srila Prabhupada in the purport and by Shukadeva Goswami in speaking all of this, is that our transcendental nature becomes awakened. And when the transcendental nature becomes awakened, then we can realize Krishna. So Prabhupada is now going to paraphrase what the demigods are saying. Quote, therefore, the demigods prayed, without your appearing as Krishna, as you are, neither ajnana vidha, the nescience of speculative knowledge, nor vijnanam would be realized. So why did Krishna appear? Say positively or say reverse, negatively. If he didn't appear, people would be stuck. They'd be stuck with, at best, speculative knowledge and no experience. And therefore, spin, speculative knowledge. And one guy and another guy, they've all got their ideas out there in the spiritual marketplace, spinning the minds of people who are trying to pick one from the menu. Which one do we pick today? Or this lifetime? Or I'm confused, maybe there's nothing. So he does appear to surpass speculative knowledge and give direct experience of here I am, in transcendence. Still continuing, Prabhupada's paraphrasing what the demigods are praying in this verse. Ajnana vidha pramarjanam. By your appearance, the speculative knowledge of ignorance will be vanquished, and the real experienced knowledge of authorities like Lord Brahma will be established. Men influenced by the three modes of material nature imagine their own God according to their modes of material nature. In this way, God is presented in various ways, but your appearance will establish what the real form of God is. Next paragraph. The highest blunder committed by the impersonalist is to think that when the incarnation of God comes, he accepts a form of matter in the mode of goodness. Now, beware, this is like poison. It's Mayavad philosophy. It's the followers of Shankaracharya teach this, so, handle with care. Highly lethal. Thinking, Krishna is very nice. Krishna is Brahman, covered by very rarefied, highly refined quality goodness. Poison. And that's what makes Krishna great, worth listening to, because he's this highly rarefied quality goodness, so he can tell us what the real deal is. The real deal is beyond that is Brahman. And that's what Krishna is. But the real thing is Brahman. They say he accepts a form of matter in the mode of goodness. The highest quality of goodness, but a covering. Brahman covered. Actually, the form of Krishna or Narayana is transcendental to any material idea. Even the greatest impersonal Shankaracharya actually admitted Narayana Paro Avyaktat. Narayana is transcendental to the material creation. Material creation is caused by the avyakta, the impersonal manifestation of matter, or the non-phenomenal total reservoir of matter, and Krishna is transcendental to that material conception. This is expressed in Srimad Bhagavatam as Shuddha Sattva, or transcendental. The Lord does not belong to the material mode of goodness, for he is above the position of material goodness. He belongs to the transcendental eternal status of bliss and knowledge. And I'll read the next two quickly. It's the two paragraphs. It's, again, Prabhupada is paraphrasing, restating the demigod's prayer, like expanding it for simple people like us. Dear Lord, the demigods prayed, quote, when you appear in your different incarnations, you take different names and forms according to different situations. Lord Krishna is your name because you are all attractive. You are called Shyama Sundara because of your transcendental beauty. Shyama means blackish, and yet they say you are more beautiful than thousands of cupids, Kandarpa, Koti, Kamaniya. Although you appear in a color which is compared to that of a blackish cloud, you are transcendental, absolute, and therefore your beauty is many, many times more attractive than the delicate body of Cupid. Sometimes you are called Giridhari because you lifted the hill known as Govardhan. Sometimes you are called Nandanandana or Vasudeva or Devaki Nandana because you appeared as the son of Maharaj Nanda or Devaki or Vasudeva. Listen to this. Impersonalists think of your many names and forms are according to a particular type of work and quality because they accept you from the position of a material observer. Prabhupada doesn't commonly explain how the impersonalists take the different forms and names of the Lord, but it just connects with this rarefied quality of goodness. So he has this goodness, and according to the manifestation of material quality, then there's work. He lifts the Govardhan Hill. It's work. Oh, he's got a name, Giridhari. Or his activity appears as the son of Nanda Jasoda. His goodness. So therefore he's got a name. But behind the name is, you know what, it's all one. Brahman. That's there. But not so. All of his qualities and pastimes and activities and appearance are transcendental. Next paragraph. Again, paraphrasing the demigods. Our dear Lord, the way of understanding you is not to study your absolute nature, form, and activities by mental speculation, one must engage himself in devotional service. Then one can understand your absolute nature and your transcendental form, name, and quality. Actually, only a person who has a little taste for service of your lotus feet can understand your transcendental nature or form and quality. Others may go on speculating for millions of years, but it is not possible for them to understand even a single part of your actual position. Unquote. That's the demigods. Now, Prabhupada. In other words, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna cannot be understood by non-devotees because there's a curtain of Yoga Maya which covers Krishna's actual features, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 7:29. Naham Prakasha Sarvasya, the Lord says, I am not exposed to anyone and everyone. When Krishna came, he was actually present on the battlefield of Kurukshetra and everyone saw him. But not everyone could understand that he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Still, everyone who died in his presence attained complete liberation from material bondage and was transferred to the spiritual world. So why does Krishna come? As the son of Devaki, to give the experience and the practical realized knowledge of what transcendence is, what Krishna's spiritual form is, and even if persons were in denial of it, they still achieved. What to speak of those that, because of their quality of devotion, however modest that quality of devotion, like Putana or Kupcha, what was the quality of devotion of Putana? When she entered into the chamber where just a three-week-old, think of a child that's 3 weeks old, how dainty and delicate and tiny, 3 weeks old, she saw Krishna and thought, such a beautiful child, as a mother might think towards, you know, just anybody seeing a small little baby, oh. So maternal or paternal affection. Let me kill him. But just that little, Krishna accepted and gave her a position of one of the assistants of Mother Yasoda in Goloka Vrindavan. Eternally. Putana. Nasty as witch. Heinous activities. Her whole program was killing little babies and drinking their blood. I mean, yuck. But because of that regard towards Krishna, he gave her a position in the spiritual world. Ukubja. When she saw Krishna, it was lusty. But because she offered the incense and the sandalwood paste and the scented oils to Balaram, because Krishna said, give some to my brother, Balaram. She also gave to Krishna. And by that service, Krishna not just straightened her body and made her beautiful again, but satisfied her attraction for him. He elevated her to the position of transcendental appreciation and affection for Krishna, just by that little service. Last paragraph, and we're done. Here's the awakening of the transcendental nature message again, for the, exactly the sixth time. Because foolish mutas do not awaken their spiritual nature, they do not understand Krishna or Rama. Rama can mean Ramachandra, Rama can mean Balarama, they're both right. So, Krishna Balarama for today. Avajananti mam mudha manushim pranamashritam even big academic scholars, not considering the endeavors of the acharyas who have recommended devotional service, and many elaborate commentaries and notes, think that Krishna is fictitious. Did you know that Gandhi also spoke like that? He who read Bhagavad Gita daily? Hare Krishna. Due to a lack of transcendental knowledge and a failure to awaken Krishna consciousness, this is due to a lack of transcendental knowledge and a failure to awaken. Now here's, instead of saying the transcendental nature, it's awakening Krishna consciousness. One should have the common sense to ask why, if Krishna or Rama were fictitious, stalwart scholars like Sridhara Swami, Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, Veera Raghava, Vijaya Dvaja, Vallabhacharya, and many others, recognized acharyas, would have spent so much time writing about Krishna in notes and commentaries on Srimad Bhagavatam and a purport. That was the start, entry point in the purport and the conclusion remark in the purport. Why are they wasting their time with fiction? And it's not just, you know, one acharya, it's acharya after acharya after acharya after acharya after acharya after acharya pursuing fiction. Pursuing fiction? Really? Then, if we rule out fiction, then what is Krishna? The understanding of Krishna, what would just be diversity? O Lord, cause of all causes, if your transcendental body were not beyond the modes of material nature, one could not understand the difference between matter and transcendence. Now, one of the verses of this chapter is the Aruya Krichchena Param Padam Tadapatantyado Nandana Yushmatangaya. It's this description that by the process of speculation, one cannot enter into the region of transcendence. One can speculate, now I'm in transcendence. But such a person, although they may rise high by their mental power of speculation, without shelter at the lotus feet of the personality of Godhead, patangyano, because their intelligence is not purified. And how does intelligence become purified? By this descending mercy. So if I refuse to place myself as a recipient of descending mercy, one will continue to speculate endlessly, lifetime after lifetime, with nothing more than one verse of the Bhagavatam is the value of the hard labor of thrashing chaff. Once the grain has been removed, and just continue to thrash the chaff, what benefit do you get? You get nothing except your own hard labor. Do it forever. Nothing comes because the grain has already been removed. Just the chaff is left. No value. But in the world, people may think, oh, he's an expert chaff thrasher. He's an expert speculator. Look at that. Whoa! Fantastic. And there's another one. Bombastic words with no substance. That the Bhagavatam is specifically warning us not to do that. And so then Prabhupada would say, practical instruction so many times, we should not hear Srimad Bhagavatam or Ramayana from those who are speculators, those who have not received this descending mercy through disciplic succession. just because they're so proud of their ability to speculate and speak flowery language. That's not the qualification. Krishna isn't attracted by one's speculative power or flowery language. Naham prakasha sarvasya yogamaya samavrata mudhoyam abhijanati. And one won't get that. Why does Krishna appear? To give the experience. Here I am. For those who want that experience, to receive Him. This is the what we're honoring at Krishna Janmashtami. Krishna's mercy upon one and all. But then we could say a little differently, it's mercy upon those who want it, His mercy. And those that don't want His mercy, Krishna gives it anyways, but in a different way. But just this little devotion, this little awakening of our transcendental nature, that transcendental nature is to want to serve Krishna, even a little bit, Krishna accepts. And that little bit should then become a little bit more, and a little bit more, and gradually a nice, healthy wanting to serve Krishna. And then it just continues to grow and grow and grow on into the spiritual world by Krishna's mercy. That's why Krishna appears in this world. And we're honoring Krishna's mercy to come and make His appearance. Compliments to our pujaris for their nice altar decoration. Very nice. Any comments or questions? Yes.
The point that there is no point in hearing from Krishna is in the mode of the existence of rare by more goodness. How would that translate to hearing from Brahma?
How's that one?
How would that same point translate to hearing from Brahma or in goodness?
Well, it depends on have those Brahmanas received what they're speaking in disciplic succession. Like, let's take Prabhupada's statement so we can put it in context. I may be an imperfect person, but if I'm speaking the words of a perfect person, my speaking is perfect. So, for one who has not heard from a perfect person, but they're a Brahmana, their speaking at best will help elevate one to the quality of goodness, at best. But it won't deliver Krishna. And on the other hand, someone who is not yet fully purified, like Prabhupada speaking of himself, not to say that he was, but so that we can understand the things in proper perspective. I may be an imperfect person, but if I speak the words of a perfect person, my speaking is perfect. Then when the access to Krishna is made available by that disciplic succession method. By such method, the speaker becomes purified, the hearer becomes purified. It's not to say the speaker is already purified. The speaker will become purified. Now, ideal is the speaker is already purified, but how did he become purified? By that method. But it's like, you know, sometimes Prabhupada would have in his own presence, he would have one of the devotees speak. I heard Giriraj Maharaj and Pradyumna Prabhu both express what it was like when Prabhupada, they're just sitting there, ready for class, and Prabhupada told one of them to speak. What do you do when your spiritual master says to do something? You do it, but in his presence, you know, what's that speaking going to be compared to Prabhupada speaking? That's how they're thinking. But no, Prabhupada wanted to examine them. And so forth. So it's not that there, you know, that that meant that Prabhupada was on that particular day wanted his disciples to stay in La La Land. He wanted them to become purified by hearing in disciplic succession. So your question specifically is what about Brahmanas who speak something. It depends on where that something has come from. It's just like our discussion with yesterday, without going into detail. You know, I'll go down the path. This yoga of kirtan thing that Satyaraj has done, and you know, interviewing all kinds of people, and you know, in effect, putting them on a vyasasana. Satyaraj asked me, what you think of my book, and I told him, I'm not interested in that book. How come? You know, I don't like what you've done. Better you interview, you know, Bhakta so-and-so than these other people that, you know, what's behind? Now, hey, I hear some of the things that so-and-so is involved with. And you're interviewing them about yoga kirtan. What are you doing? You know, in the name of liberality, or what is it? Anyway. Yeah, so same. So someone may be, you know, what's the verse? One may be perfect in yantra tantra visharada. Yeah, sat karma nipano vipro. Anyway, I can't remember the whole verse. It's your question is, what about those people? From the Bhagavatam perspective, let them take the association of saintly persons. That they take association of Vaishnava, devotees who have heard and disciplined succession, sit at their feet for some time. And then they can take their, you know, qualities, and it puts a one in front of the zeros. But without the one, it's zeros. Yes, Murari. When Shishupal saw Krishna and when Bhishma Dev saw Krishna, did they see the same thing? Is that your question? They were in the same assembly. It was the time to honor the greatest personality in the assembly. Bhishma Dev stepped forward. And he was glorifying the greatest personality in the assembly. He saw something. Shishupal saw something else. And Shishupal started speaking. He interrupted Bhishma Dev. I mean, that was, you know, outrageous. But then when he was speaking, because he couldn't contain himself, he had such enmity to Krishna. How bad is Krishna? They saw differently. Okay.
Because Krishna is transcendent. That matter is different. We're talking about everyday matter that we see. If we had transcendental eyes.
If we had transcendental eyes.
Transcendental consciousness.
Would
we see the same matter the same way?
No. We would see Krishna. Ravindra Sru probably has a website, and go to his website and hear one of the classes that he's given on when he was a PhD student in philosophy, and he heard Prabhupada explain When a devotee sees a tree, they don't just see a tree, they see Krishna. You know, and how, as a philosopher, he processed that. Does that mean, or does it mean, you know, by speculation, you know, you can't understand what it means. But by, so, he asked Prabhupada, what does it mean? You hear him explain. It's not just, it's more than, but it includes seeing matter as a product of Krishna's energy and therefore meant for Krishna's service. It means that, but it means more. You know, it's like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When he saw Chatakparvat, he saw Govardhan Hill. And there was Krishna on the side of Govardhan Hill. And he went running, Krishna! Anything else? Yes.
Understanding the impartiality of the Lord. You were explaining how, like, for example, one of the examples you've given, those present in the Bhagavad Gita Kshetra, although they didn't have a Guru service, just because of Krishna's presence, they achieved a very exalted position.
Yeah.
And so, one way they can translate is that that's unfair. I'm struggling like anything to go through a little bit of devotion. Hey, these fellows don't have any Guru service whatsoever. But so why doesn't Krishna give me the same opportunity now?
Krishna is giving you the same opportunity now.
How do I understand that?
in the course of the day. All day today. You'll be engaged in Krishna's devotional service. I'm sure you'll chant Hare Krishna a few times. I'm sure you'll cut a few vegetables in the kitchen or something or other to be offered to Krishna, etc. Krishna is giving his association. Krishna has given you the opportunity and you said yes. Now, what's your realization? What's the realization of the people who are on the battlefield of Kurukshetra? You have more realization than they have. You're not, your opportunity is not less. It's complete, but it has to do with the choices that you made, the free will choices that you said yes. But, you know, let's say it's not a full yes yet. That needs to grow and mature. But it's still, you know, yes. Krishna is giving his mercy. And what's going to be your destination? Let's see what happens at the moment of your death. What circumstance you'll be in. Just like our recent experience with Krishna does. He's surrounded by devotees. And, you know, Donna Kelly's appreciation. Who knows where we'll be when that moment comes. Let's see what Krishna arranges. But, you know, each of us, according to our capacity to receive Krishna's mercy, something can happen. Guru Govinda Maharaj is in Mayapur, in the midst of explaining Krishna's pastimes, in the room filled with devotees. There's question and answer time. His health was weak, but so they came to his room, and he was speaking Krishna Katha. Left his body. So, where's the destination of such a soul? Jitendriya.
Could we call Jackie Spiel?
Say it again, please.
We call it package view.
That's what I thought you said. Could you explain yourself?
Well, we're shopping with DVDs, books.
Oh, the package deal, okay.
What market they have?
Anything else? Oh, Gorky Shore always has the best questions. Relay?
Shankaracharya said, Narayano Garavyapta.
Yeah.
So with this, Shankaracharya meaning by Avyapta, this may be on those three most material natures.
The Avyapta is specifically mentioned in this. It's the state of unmanifest. So take it, the way the Prabhupada is presented is Avyakta can mean the state of creation in its unmanifest condition. The manifest, unmanifest. Meaning, like Pradhan, the totality of material energy in its undifferentiated and unmanifested state, from which comes the manifested state. It could be, it can mean that. So Narayan is beyond that. Or it can mean, in another sense, Brahman, the unmanifested Brahman. And Narayan is para compared to the unmanifested Brahman.
So the second one that you know is the last second, because if you accept the first one, then the spirits are also here, the Brahman is also here. So, first and then you know we
are. Well, even if it's the other, even if it's the other, then it matches Vedanta tat tatva vidas tatvam yaj jnanam advayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavan. So bhagavan is also advaya. Correct? That means by that message, Brahman, which is beyond the avyakta, and Krishna is also beyond the avyakta. Krishna is not of this material world. He's not a covered state of Brahman.
So sometimes I think sometimes the form.
No, the form, Krishna, not Krishna. It's a contradiction of the other, of the main teaching that he gave. The main teaching he gave is forms that are called the Lord or Ishvara are covered Brahman. But ultimately there's Brahman. In his Bhagavad Gita commentary where that comes, Krishna's form is beyond the first one. The unmanifested state of the total material energy. Because, impersonalism says there isn't such a thing as the unmanifested state of material energy. Because that would make Brahman and matter distinct. You can't have two if you're an impersonalist. It's got to be only one. Right? So, then it's only number two. But even if it meant number one, it's also Krishna's form is transcendental. Which is the message that Prabhupada wanted to present to the purport. Janmastami means recognizing Krishna's appearance in this world is fully transcendental. Janma karma chame divyam. Oh, Narayana Parovyakta in that sense. Yes?
I like some clarification on Jagannath's question. The answer to Jagannath's question. What is the role of training then? Because Purana had many qualities towards Krishna. And Krishna gave her.
Krishna's kind.
That part is clear. Then why do we emphasize so much on training devotees? They simply have a favorable attitude towards Krishna, it should be sufficient.
That should be obvious. The mood of devotion, as it grows, is let us present to Krishna what's pleasing to Krishna. Krishna Eka Sharana precedes all the other qualities of a devotee. So the training is principally Krishna Eka Sharana, but it's also all the other qualities. Not stops there. And is training needed for all the other qualities? Well, it sure seems like it to me. And part of the training is, you know, let's get the Krishna Eka Sharana together. And then how you embellish that with how to bring to Krishna qualities that are pleasing so that Krishna will be pleased. So that's why the training needed. We don't want to just go around being Putanas or Kamsas. Just always think of Krishna in some inimical fashion. We want to think of Krishna in a pleasing fashion and therefore offer to Krishna that which is pleasing to Krishna. Now take your question and let's speak about, you know, the kitchen. All we have to do is make things that are in the category of foods that are offerable to Krishna and just do it. That's all we have to do. That's not all we have to do. We have to be so many things to be in proper consciousness to make offerings to Krishna or the pujaris. All I have to do is ring the bell and wave some incense and I'm going back to Gaya. Or go. It takes much more than that. We have practical experience. It takes training. It's not just technique, it's consciousness. So the framework is there and it forms, as Prabhupada's three times said in the purport, the standard regulations of bhakti, devotional service. But then, you know, how to receive it? How does that interact with one's heart? And then what do you do once that interacts with your heart? How do you perform the activity? And how do you interact with others who are performing similar activity? And so on. It requires training. Otherwise, we don't need Brahmins. But we need Brahmins. I mean, that's their service unto the rest of society, to offer spiritual training. And then we need spiritual administrators. I mean, so forth. We need the social fabric. The natural order of things is there. Only in the spiritual world is not like a duty. It's just an expression of love, but the structure is still there. It's a natural order of things. Why did Krishna become a student of Sandipani Muni? To show, even whoever you are, we need training. Why did he do that? Because we need to develop the training that he received, as it's described in the Bhagavatam, is ways of serving Krishna. And he learned the ways of serving Krishna very, you know, Narayan, very quickly. He became a graduate very quickly. Thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Krishna Janmashtami ki jai.